Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Lori. And today we are going to discuss the tools we cannot live without for our reselling business.
Yeah. So we have no script.
Not even our intro.
No, we've got nothing this week. And we know we're a little late with our episode this week. Sorry, but you know, life. And
life happens. Gosh, Daniela, this is so weird though, because
we're always scripted in the beginning.
When you ever messaged me and was like, can we just record later in the week? I was like, oh my gosh, I hope she's okay. Because you never miss anything, ever.
I know. So we'll talk all about it in this episode and we'll talk about our favorite things. So we will see you at the table. All right.
Here we go.
Here we are. Eating my yogurt. This is a Chobani Flip mint chocolate chip yogurt. This is my dinner at 9:03 p.m.
You know, my new favorite Weight Watchers snack is, I have a couple, but one is the, I don't know if it's put out by Chobani, but it's only 2 grams of sugar. It's called like Too Good or Just Two or something like that. So it's low sugar is what it is. And on Weight Watchers, it's only 2 points for the yogurt. But then I get these, I don't know if Wegmans is a local thing, but it's a grocery store. And I'm sure you know what they are, but I don't know if all of our listeners do. But so
we don't have one in Rhode Island. I wish we did, but.
Oh, all right. Well, they just pull one at the Natick Mall.
Oh, so that's not too fair.
Yeah. So anyways, they sell frozen cherries, which I'm sure most grocery stores do, but they sell like the sweet dark cherries all in one bag and they're so good. And I just load the top of my cup with the frozen cherries and it almost changes the yogurt into like frozen yogurt because it's so cold from the frozen cherries. It is delicious. And it takes a long time to eat it because the cherries are like frozen solid at first.
Yeah.
So freaking good.
Sounds good. I love that. Love
it's that. Really good. It's really good.
Yeah. So guys, it's Wednesday. Is today Wednesday? Yes.
Yes.
Wednesday night. I haven't really slept this week. So yes, it is Wednesday night and we're recording late. I can be transparent about why. Everyone on here knows that listens to us. I had one of my flare-ups. So that is why we did not record on Sunday and I needed some time to rest. I could have recorded, but I decided to listen to my body.
And that's good.
Yes.
You needed that.
I needed to rest. I slept and I felt better the next day. So that is why you're getting a Wednesday episode. It's fine.
Thursday.
Oh yeah. Thursday, Wednesday for us. Thursday for Thursday.
Okay. I'm like nervous. Did you just hear that beep come through? Mm-mm. Oh, okay. Just like a text message that comes through and I can't hit the mute button because I'm talking. But it's like it's a group chat. So I'm worried, like it's going to be like 1,000 messages. One of our friends is moving out of town. So we're having a goodbye party for tomorrow night. So it's just like reminder, follow-up stuff.
Yeah. So Lori, how was your week? So you had Hope that was there all of last week. I'm so sad I couldn't meet with you guys, but work just kind of got in the way, unfortunately.
We missed you.
I tried so hard, but I couldn't.
Yeah, it was a whirlwind of a week, but it was really great. I can't believe like tomorrow's a week that she's already been gone.
I know.
It just goes by so fast. So, we had such a great time. Like the thrifting we did was crazy good.
I'm so jealous that you spent 7 hours in that store.
Oh my gosh. That's the haul that I filmed today. So I just went through 3 trash bags that I got from that store. And, I really was like shocked by some of the stuff that I found, but it also is a testament to just being thorough, you know, like think about not every store has the stuff that all stores have, like, right. Obviously not all thrift stores are created equally, but I noticed when I went to Goodwill in Worcester a few weeks ago, it was really cold at first. Like, I'm like, this place is overrated. And then I was just there for a while. So I just kept looking and looking, and the longer I stayed, the more that I found. And then by the end of the visit, I was like, this is actually a really great place. But I forced myself to stay because it takes a while to warm up. Like, right. I think you and I were so used to our Savers. Like I can size up Savers pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. In like 10, 15 minutes. I know.
And it's a huge store, but I kind of just get a vibe pretty quickly just because I know the store so well. So when I'm in a different environment, it takes me a while. Mm-hmm. And the thrift store we went to is Hope's favorite. So I knew we were going to be there for a really long time, but I did not think 7 hours, and it really flew by. And I said in my video today, I probably spent 2 hours, like cumulatively, just running comps in that store, because there are so many brands that I have never, ever, ever seen before. And I know they're good. So a lot of it's just throwing stuff in our cart. And we probably had like 85 things in our cart. And then like, by the time you get done sorting, I went down to 56 things, but, yeah, it was crazy. The thrifting was crazy. The cape was a lot better than I thought it would be as well. Cause I picture cape just a little more relaxed. It's not the city. You don't have the same fashion on the cape as you do closer to Boston, but I'll tell you, it was really good. So yeah, we had a lot of fun and we were both pretty wiped out by the end of the week. And now like I'm a little sick today, like today, this morning, I wasn't feeling great. Hope was had a flare up at home. Like we're like, we're kind of in rough shape. Like, cause we partied like rock stars for a week. Well, not really. I mean, we were tired at the end of the day. So we slept well, we would go to bed, but no, we had a lot of fun. It's good. It's nice to be in person with somebody who does what you do.
It is. It is. It makes a big difference when you're with someone that does the exact same thing, gets the same thrill and enjoys doing the same stuff and learns the same things that you learn. Or maybe they know more things than you and you bounce different things.
Collaborate and share because you have different stuff. And so, yeah, it's nice. And it's rare for us as resellers to have that time.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to make time to spend with another reseller. No matter how close you are with someone, it's very difficult to fit that in just given work that needs to be done, you know, family, everything, right? Like reselling has that flexibility, but at the same time, it's also difficult to,
but the days fill up really quickly. And I think that's why that week is like such a gift, because like my husband, Jay knows, he's like, oh, I know this is the week that Hope's here or whatever. Like there's no, I have to cook dinner tonight. It's almost like I'm on a work trip. I think that's how Jay kind of views it. And I view it like, okay, I know you're not going to be home till 9, you're going to eat out. And it's just like, we go hard all day. But it is like already there's a store that we went to on our way down to the Cape, that I really liked, and certain things go on sale after 90 days. And there were a few pieces that I wanted to go back for. And I haven't had the time to go back, because now of course I have all these pieces I have to process.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was fun.
Good. Lots of work ahead of you, but that's okay. It was
fun. That's okay. Yeah, that's the
name. And you have lots of stuff. I, on the other hand, have not been sourcing at all. But I also haven't really been photographing. So I'm okay. But I have to say, I've been sharing. Like I've been doing my usual sharing and sending out offers. I've had one sale every day, which is okay. I mean, I'm not making the same amount of money as I was if I was, you know, being consistent with it. But I'm having sales every day. So I'm giving myself that break and that, like, it's okay, Daniela, just when you feel like photographing and thrifting again, do it. You've had a lot of transitions in the last couple of weeks.
I was just going to say, you transitioned to a new position at work, and that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, last week was a little difficult too. We lost someone at work too. We had a coworker that passed away at work. Yeah. And, very unexpected. It was, you know, I mean, she had a condition, but, we don't believe that this was related to what happened. So yeah, it was last week was just, it was, you know, the week before was rough because my kitty passed away. And then I think it was Monday. Monday is when our coworker passed away. So that was like, you know, that was just, it was just crazy. So it's just a lot. Yeah. Thanks. It's just nuts. I wasn't, you know, and it doesn't matter that I wasn't that friendly with her. I worked with her. I knew her, you know. It's always awful, especially when it's unexpected like that. And she was young. She's 37.
Wow.
3 years older than me. So, So last week was just crazy. Then I had my flare up and all that. So I was just kind of like, you know what? When I thrift,
you need to press the reset button.
I know. Well, that's the thing. I'm just kind of like, you know, when I get back to it, I get back to it. I just kind of need to take some time for myself. And that's kind of the beauty of it. I still have my full-time job where I get a paycheck every week and I'm still making money. I'm just adjusting my priorities.
Yeah. And it's not all about always making more, mm-hmm. selling more, you know, mm-hmm. like I even have thought a little bit about my YouTube channel and where I want to go with it. I mean, like I'm in my rhythm here, mm-hmm. but I'm like, do I really want to be like every month making more money? Like, oh, I got to beat last month's goal. I got to make more money next month. I'm like, because this isn't my, our family's primary source of income. I do the, do this full time, but I'm like, you know, I really love the thrift with me's, and I really love, like, maybe I just focus on that fun part of it and not worry so much about, I mean, my sales are good, but I'm like, instead of tracking them so much and being so, I mean, everybody has different circumstances. Right. There are plenty of resellers who do this full time who need to track it.
Yeah.
And I need to track it as well. But I just mean, like, I don't know. Like, I just, I've been taking a little bit of a breather with the intensity of stuff as well.
I feel like we all go through those phases, right? Where like you're in it. You're in everything. You're like engrossed in it all. Then all of a sudden you're like, wait, what am I doing to myself? What do I really want to focus on? What do I really enjoy? And then we kind of take those little breaks and we focus on the things we really like. And then sometimes we go hard on some things and sometimes we don't. I just think it's finding that balance, what works best for you. We've talked about this in other episodes. It's different for everyone.
It's different for everyone. And even, even ourselves, we have different seasons, and, you know, there are times when our focus is on one thing.
Yep.
And then it shifts, you know?
Yep, I agree with you. And we can just segue into things that we can't live without in our business. And I think this also changes with time, because if I were to go back to like when I first started reselling, something that I thought was necessary that I never purchased, I ended up creating something that was my own, was, you know how everyone, go back like a year or two ago, was buying those replica surface things.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Flat lays.
Yeah.
And I thought when I first started that that was what I needed to create pretty pictures, because my pictures were just me throwing things on the ground or on the back of the door. Right.
Right.
And that was just always something that I wanted. I needed to spend that money to buy it. I never did, because I ended up being crafty, and this is something that I can't live without. And it's my two cardboard poster boards that I have with adhesive marble paper on the back.
Like contact paper, like marble contact paper. It's so beautiful.
Thank you. That's all I have. It's contact paper from Walmart, I think, which was like $5.88. And then the poster board is from Dollar Tree.
Wow.
And I can't live without them.
Like a foam poster.
The foam one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I use. So what I thought was necessary ended up creating, and I know a lot of other resellers do this too. I created my own. You can use anything. I use the marble, but you could use whatever you want, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I used for my shoe setup. I was originally also using it for my handbags, but now I've started hanging my handbags. I have a new hook that I can hang them on. So that's what I've been doing. But yeah, that is one thing that I absolutely cannot live without. That is part of like the staples of my closet, as you know. When you see that photo, which is kind of like we all aim for, and people see one photo, they know that that's you. And that's kind of like
my right thing. Yep. That's your thing. Yeah. That's so nice. I mean, I can't live without my photo box where I, it's just from Amazon, and I rely heavily on artificial lighting because my studio is in my basement and I don't have a single window to natural lighting, just where it is. I have natural lighting on the other side of the basement, but where I am, nothing. So when I'm down there photographing, if I rely heavily on my lights, but sometimes it makes it a little bit more work in the editing part too, because it's all artificial lighting. There's no natural lighting, which in my opinion is the best, you know? So, and it's not like I couldn't go in the other room and photograph. I just have everything right there. Yeah. So I use my Amazon like light box, and that's what I do anything small. I do any flat lays, handbags, shoes. And I love that. And when I hired Caitlin, she asked if she could bring in a chair one day. And so now, and I moved it over to my desk. That's what it is. She didn't ask for a chair. I brought in a chair because I was cleaning. And so I cleaned out all the junk under the desk, which was basically just acting like a storage unit. And then I put my photo box on top of the desk when I was revamping my inventory. And so then you just had the chair there. So now you can like really sit and chill and just photograph so much, because I'd never sat down when I took my pictures.
Yeah.
And now like I photographed like 10 pairs of shoes today, and it was so easy. Like,
that actually sounds really nice. I sit on the floor because I don't have a good setup here, obviously, because I do everything in my bedroom. So I have to sit on the floor. So I hate photographing shoes because I have to sit on the floor. Gotcha. But if I had once we have a nice setup, I definitely would have a table and have everything just right there. So you can sit and it's just really grab place. Like, so nice. I also recognize your photos by the leaves that you use in your photo box. That's how I know it's a Lori photo.
Aw, thank you. Yeah. That's, I guess that's my, I feel like at times I've overused it, or sometimes it makes my photo look busy, but then other times it's like just the pop that I need and I absolutely love it. So yeah, I just have like an artificial, you know, it's almost like a fern. And then I have eucalyptus, but I haven't used the eucalyptus in a while. And then during the holidays, I was using like pine, but then if you don't sell your item by the time Christmas comes and goes, and now you're looking at pine in June and you're like, so I stopped using that. But yeah, I like it for the contrast with certain shoes. So that's my thing.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I really don't want to spend money on things, you know, you don't have to do any of this. It's just things that we like to do. And this is
plus my greenery costs like $4, you know, like, yeah, the light box I think was maybe 80.
I kind of want one. I'm not going to lie. When I look at light box photos, I'm like, oh, I kind of like that. I kind of like it, but I just don't want to invest in it right now because I just don't have the space. I think that's a lot of it.
I was going to say it's kind of bulky.
Yeah, I don't have room for it.
But I just have the one that's, you know, like mine is probably like 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet, like square. Yeah. But I mean, there are resellers who have like that huge one that you walk into. It looks like a shower.
Yeah. I don't want that.
I don't want that. Hope has one. I think she loves it.
I can see that though, because you literally just step in, you're hanging. I can see how people like that, but I just don't want to deal with it or setting it up for that matter.
Well, my studio space, the room that I actually work in is small. So as it is, even my ring light, I feel like takes up a lot of space. I got the ring light because I got rid of the umbrella lights because those were like super bulky and I needed two of them. And I tripped over them 100 times. And finally they just disconnected. The cord just finally had its time. So I had to replace those. But yeah, lighting is pretty essential. Let's just say my lint roller. I mean, I could not do what I did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a total, I just couldn't do what I do without my lint roller.
Yeah.
And it has to be Scotch because I've tried so many cheapy ones even if they do a good job de-linting, I can't peel them. They're really difficult to peel back. And then I end up wanting to throw it across the room. So I found my
black pair of pants.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The worst.
The
absolute worst. Yeah, I agree. I think a lint roller is a good one. A sweater shaver of some sort. I mean, you don't have to get fancy if you don't want to, but I love mine. Mine's battery operated. And I think I got on Amazon for, I don't know, $15, $10, something like that. It was very, very affordable.
Sweater shavers are great.
I feel like that's one of the tools that every reseller should have in their toolkit. You should have some type of sweater shaver. Because you are going to come across some items that you just are not going to want to sit there and pull pills by hand.
Yeah. I think it gives you more options as a seller. Because like when I'm out shopping, if I see a sweater, I'm like, this is really nice. And it's marked down because of the pilling, but I know I can hit that with the sweater shaver and it will look great. I mean, I don't think the sweater shaver works great on all surfaces.
No.
And I have ruined one or two things with my sweater shaver getting like a little too close. But I've used it on multiple things. I've had like wool slippers, like plaid wool slippers that were pilling, and I used that sweater shaver and they were like new. I've used it like between like the legs, like that the area that rubs between the legs on like Lululemon leggings, and it just like smooths it out. So yeah, it's great. They're great. They're wonderful.
I want to go back to the light box and ring light discussion. Do you think it's necessary for people to have a ring light? I feel like this is a controversial topic that people talk about when they first start reselling. Like, should I buy a ring light? Should I not buy a ring light? You know, all those types of things.
I think it comes down to what your lighting is, because, you know, I would love to not have to use artificial lighting. I really would. But I also think, no, you can make it work. Some people don't have them and they make it work. Do you have a light?
I have one ring light. I only have room for one, but it requires me to do a lot of editing. Like if I could just use natural light all the time, I wouldn't have to edit as much. But
right. That's what I was saying about my stuff too.
Right. Only having one ring light, and my wall is like an off-white color and I can't paint it. It's like a creamy color. So I always have to do some type of something to it. Right. Yeah. The colors are never 100%. I like it, but I also get frustrated when I have to use the ring light. Like I got to set it up and then the color never looks 100% the way I want it to look. I just like to wait for a sunny day and take a picture.
Right. I think that the tricky part, and this would come down, this is an individual thing. I mean, if you're a person who maybe you're a mom with small children and you can't photograph until the kids go to bed, well, then it's dark out. So you would absolutely need a ring light in order to do your job and take photos. If you can do it so that maybe you're taking photos while they nap during the day and you can do natural lighting. I mean, I really think it's a personal decision. Mm-hmm. For me, it's just, it's peace of mind knowing that I can take photos any time of day or evening, whenever the urge hits me or whenever it needs to get done. I'm not limited by sunlight.
And that plays a big part to us as New Englanders as well, because once, you know, August, September hits, I mean, the sun does start to
go away much quicker. In the afternoon, it's getting dark, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, there are times where it's 3:30 and you're like, I can't take photos after three. And that was when I first started. I was like, I have to get a ring light, because once 3:30 hits, I can't do anything anymore. You know, by the time I get home from work, it's pitch black out. So, but you don't, I guess, necessarily have to spend money on a ring light. There are other options. Like, you could buy a lamp without the shade on it and use like a daylight bulb. Like, there's lots of different ways that you can do it if you don't want to.
I mean, this light right here, that's like a desk light. This light is so bright, like on our desktop. I mean, this is better than some of like the little mini ring lights that I use when I do like my Zoom calls. So yeah, I think that's definitely an option. There are affordable ways to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they go on sale a lot too. Amazon has a bunch, Walmart has them. So like,
I've seen a lot of ring lights at TJ Maxx lately. I mean, they're all in like selfie mode, but I feel like they're getting bigger and bigger, because I feel like more and more people are just,
there's a lot of content creators.
So a lot of content creators. They're popping up in a lot of places. So I think it's an attainable thing. It's not like, so for example, like I can't live without my Jiffy steamer. That was $179. Yeah. That's expensive. So I feel like there are plenty of other options for steamers that don't require that much money. But I feel like ring lights, you can probably get cheap.
Yeah. And you can find other ways to make it work. It's like you have multiple options when it comes to that. A steamer, I mean, it all depends on, I think a steamer is necessary in this business, whether you like to steam or not. It's necessary because certain items that we get just are,
can't go in the wash.
Can't do anything with it, right? They can't go in the wash, or they're just so, like, you got a linen shirt and it's just so wrinkled and you have to steam it.
Yeah.
Silk shirt, you have to steam it. Like,
I mean, if you want to be professional about your business, there, right. I'm sure people take pictures and things aren't ironed or steamed. Or
I mean, I've done it when I'm lazy, but if it's really bad.
I mean, you don't, not everything has to be, but, you know, I think it helps your photos for sure.
I agree.
And I'm not about ironing. That's not the life I live.
Before I had a steamer, I was ironing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fun. So I couldn't wait. But my steamer, I have a handheld, like one of those simple handheld ones.
Yeah.
I want to say.
Those are pretty effective. People like,
It wasn't bad. I mean, everyone says that you don't have enough water in there, but I'm such a small scale reseller where it never really was a problem for me. I never ran out of water. It's never leaked or anything like that. I want to say it was $23 somewhere in that, which is very affordable. It's already paid for itself many times over. So, and that was an Amazon thing too. It wasn't, if you go on Amazon and you search handheld steamer, you're going to find a bunch in all different price ranges.
Right.
So that is definitely something that I personally would say is necessary. And I think you would agree.
Sure. That was like literally one of the first things I bought. Like,
you love your Jiffy. I'm like envious when I see them, because I think they're just so pretty.
I don't even think I have a pretty one. They have the cute ones that were pink. I wish I had gotten a pink one, because they would go with my little studio space. I just have like the plain, I feel like they're kind of industrial looking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I do love it. I don't know anything else, Daniela, because it was the first steamer that I bought, and I do love it. Like anything, the tank gets yucky. We have really hard water here in the town I live in. And so, you know, I don't use the water you're supposed to use. I use tap water. So I'll probably kill my Jiffy steamer at some point because I don't use distilled water.
I don't use distilled water either.
I don't know a single person who uses distilled.
No, I just go to my sink, I fill it up, and off I go.
Exactly. But now I have like, it's like almost looks like rusty around the, you know.
Yeah.
It gets yucky, but it's like a dehumidifier, you know, like how they just like
a nice facial.
Yeah, a little exfoliator. Yeah, just open the pores.
Right, open it up.
No, but I do love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I love that I can hang stuff on it. It has like a little hook, but it has tipped over if I put too much because it's a big, it's like a big pole, you know? And the tank is only, there's only so much weight on the bottom. So there have been times where the water like is getting low, the tank is getting low, so it's lighter. And then my clothing, like I have like seven things, and if they're heavy, like that thing has fallen over.
Yeah, before. It's just going to come down.
That's my bad. That's me abusing.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and say that one thing I can't have, like I could not live without in my business, because I love shoes and love selling shoes, is my mink oil that I buy on Amazon. It is like $2.99. I think the price might have went up. Last time I bought it was $2.99. I think last time I saw it was $5.99. So the price has gone up a little bit. Yeah. I love that mink oil. It is the first thing I ever bought. I never bought the Dr. Martin's Wonder Balsam. I just never tried it, and there was no reason. I just didn't try
you
it.
Like, yeah, yeah.
So I went with the mink oil, and that is just something that I will always have in my toolkit. Always.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I'm a big Doc Martin girl because I've never used the mink oil, and the Doc Martin's like $10, also cheap. I have never replaced the first can that I bought when I first started. Yeah. So it's lasted a very long time. A very little bit goes a very long way. And that really does bring so many shoes back to life. It's crazy.
It changes them. It's, you know, all you need is just that type of oil in your toolkit, and any leather shoe will come back to life.
Yeah, it's crazy. It might need a little time. Love doing the side-by-side comparisons on Instagram. Like, it's so satisfying to just look at a shoe, and then you do the right foot or the left shoe and whatever, and you show them side-by-side. It's such a huge difference. I love it.
It is. And then I think back to like before I was a reseller, and I would look at my leather shoes that were destroyed, and I would just donate them. Like, I'm not going to fix these. Yeah, right?
Yeah, yes. Some reseller was scooping those up and
that's
making them look
beautiful. I know, right? So, I probably sold them. I just sold them in rough shape and probably sold them really cheap and didn't realize
that
I could just fix them and either kept them for myself or just rotated them, you know, and sold them and got something else. But yeah, that's my confession right there. I definitely did not do what I do now to my leather.
Want to know something I could not live without?
What?
Baby wipes. Do you use wipes of any kind?
I do. I do use baby wipes. I use alcohol wipes sometimes too.
Okay. I try not to use alcohol because I want things to be gentle. I'm always so afraid. Huh?
On the inside. On like the insole, the shoe. I use.
Yeah. Just to like clean. Yeah. To like almost disinfect a little bit. I use baby wipes for everything. I like bought a big case recently that came, like, I think it was like a 12 pack of like 200, you know, like wipes. Yeah. And they're just all over my house. I keep one, in my office, like, so as I'm packaging things up to ship them out, if I see something, but I use them for everything. I use them to clean the inside of my photo box. I use them like inside shoes, outside shoes, or just like, if there's a little surface stain on something, I use the baby wipe first. Cause it's like, I feel like it's the least invasive cause it's usually like it's gentle, you know, but I go crazy with baby wipes. I just could not live without them.
I do use baby wipes. I do use, you're gonna get nervous of me saying this, but I do also use acetone on certain things, like on some patent leathers. You have to be very careful and very gentle when using acetone because you can strip the color. Yes, yeah. It can happen. Yeah. So you just have to be mindful of that. But I do like to have acetone and the wipes ready to go and cleaning shoes and handbags. There's a product that I'm going to look up on Amazon right now. I cannot think of the name of it, but I want to say Erin from Oscillady on Instagram mentioned this product. I want to say it's like Ink Be Gone or something like that.
I use Goo Gone, and that like helps me get off like on the sole of the shoe, like the price. It removes gunk. Like I would use that instead of acetone. I don't trust myself with acetone at all.
I've ruined shoes before. 100% I've ruined shoes with acetone. But the Ink Be Gone, that's the name of it. Ink Be Gone. It's this little small tube and it's like an oily substance. It's got a little bit of a smell to it, but it's not too bad. But you know, when certain stores write impermanent marker on the bottom of the shoe,
Yeah.
Helps you get it out without having to sit there and scrub. Sometimes the magic eraser doesn't work. It depends how long it's been sitting there. Sometimes the magic eraser.
Well, sometimes it's Sharpie. Sometimes it's water-based, but sometimes it's right. Sharpie, you know, so right. Yeah.
It makes it difficult, but this Ink Be Gone product is really great. Use a little Q-tip, dip it in, kind of cover it the whole price. And then I use the other side of the Q-tip and wipe and it comes off. Sometimes it leaves a bit of an oil residue on the sole, depending what kind of sole it is. But other than that, I love it. It's affordable, $8.
Mm-hmm.
It does a trick, but you know, it also depends on the stores you're going to. One of the stores I go to writes in permanent marker, which is always the most frustrating thing.
Yeah, I just got those Pendleton boots and some whatchamacallit, Sorels yesterday at Savers, and I've got a few. It was a big shoe day, and I was using the Goo Gone on the bottom, and it's same. It's kind of oily. It's yep. a spray. Okay. But I always have to be really careful when I spray it that it doesn't like go over the side or get on any part of the leather or the fabric of the shoe.
Yep.
So usually I kind of put my hand around or try to contain it a little bit. And then I just kind of let it pool and sit for a little bit. And then of course I take a baby wipe and then I just like, I wipe it right in and then it takes it out. So
I've never thought about using Goo Gone. I always forget about Goo Gone. But it can work wonders on lots of different, like gunk that's on shoes that you can't get out sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of things that I can't live without are all my shoe and leather, like cleaning things, like my shoe polish, my black polish, my brown polish, like need to have those.
You can really bring shoes back to life that way.
I think I get personal gratification and satisfaction just bringing shoes back to life. Like, look what I just did. Like, you looked awful before and now look at you. Just a nice feeling.
For sure.
Yeah. Could you live without your phone for your business?
No.
Me neither.
No.
Some people do everything on the computer and I give them credit for it. Like maybe they take photos on like an actual camera, like an actual digital camera.
Do you
and
know
then
people
they upload them.
Camera?
Huh?
I guess there must be some people who do pictures with a camera.
Well, think of our friend Laura. I think she used a camera for all of her modeling photos, right? And then she probably uploaded them onto her computer and she did most of her work on her computer. I take photos on my phone. I upload on my phone. I do everything on my phone.
I don't edit on my phone. I hate editing on my phone. Oh gosh. Like, so I upload everything to Vendu, but Vendu is more of a desktop thing than it is a phone, but you can. So I go in, you have to go in through Chrome on your phone. And then once you're in, it's always goes into Vendu, but they actually upload photos much faster than Poshmark.
Huh.
So when I go, I'll go in through Vendu and then I just tap the pictures that I want. And then it just says add. And then sometimes when I'm just doing drafts and stuff, I might do a quick description like measurements or whatever. And then it says save and next. So it saves and then it brings me up on a new screen, upload for photos, and it's super, super fast. But then I go on my desktop and then I will like zoom in or like change the order of my photos or anything like that. Then I'll type out my title, my actual description. I do all that on my computer.
Yeah, I do everything on my phone.
Do you really?
Everything. I edit the photos. So I change the brightness. I do all that stuff on my phone.
That I do on my phone because that's where my pictures are. Yeah. Like my Pic Tap Go in my photo room, all done on the phone.
Yep. And then I just do everything else on my phone. I think I've just gotten so fast at it that when I've tried to transition over to my desktop, I find that it's taking me so much longer to do because I'm just quicker on my phone.
My kids are much faster on their phones. I feel like maybe it's a generational thing. I don't know. I
mean, we're not that much. Well, we're a little.
Yeah, but like, but
I guess
we're some time apart, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I definitely try to, you know, I can't help. I edit my photos on my phone because I have my apps.
Yeah.
But anything that I can transfer to, I just fly on the computer and I just. Plus I save a lot of stuff. Like I don't always make my listings go live right away. So like we're watching Breaking Bad, my boys and I. So if I know we're watching Breaking Bad at 7, I'm like, oh, I'm going to run downstairs and just take, you know, 5 listings worth of pictures, boom, 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 boom. And I take the pictures and I'll edit them. But then when we sit down and we have TV on the background, that's when, you know, I upload everything to Vendu and then I go on and bam. Actually, I spoke with Josh from Vendu today and he wanted me to remind our listeners that the 40% off code is good through the end of May.
Oh, perfect. Okay. We'll add that to the,
And I think a lot of people, a lot of people have taken advantage of it. And so that's great. So I did want to just give a shout out to Vendu and a reminder if anybody has been, is interested. And of course, Daniela and I both have codes as well, but I think this is a really good one.
Code.
I think so. I think
it's
so.
Better code. I think I'll find it, but I think it's just Thrifters Villa, but I will find it and I'll put it in the show notes what code is. So you guys have to reference back to the episode earlier this year. Yep. We will make sure that that is in the show notes. So that's great. Good. It's good until May. Good. Good to know.
Yeah. And he also asked me, he's like, are you going to try Facebook Marketplace? I'm like, sure, I'll try it.
I tried it. I mean, I haven't had luck selling on Facebook Marketplace, but I haven't been consistent with it. Like I tried a couple of times just to see what it was like. I didn't really have an issue with any of it. Some of the specifics didn't load. Like I kind of had to go back and I had to do a little more manual work with it, but it was in beta when I did it. I don't know if it's still in beta.
I think they officially rolled it out.
Yeah. So when I tried it, it was in beta. So I'm sure a lot of things have been, you know, worked out.
They're constantly debugging, you know. Yeah. I would love to use it for some of my American Girl stuff that's big and bulky. Like I have a camper and I have like a carriage and all these things that I just would never want to mail or deal with shipping. So I thought that maybe some of that bulky stuff might be a good start point. So yeah.
It's an easy platform. I'm not going to lie. That little bit that I did do, very easy platform. Mm. It was very simple. Kind of reminded me of Mercari in a way. The ease of
the simplicity. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So I liked it. And some people have had really great luck with Facebook Marketplace, like selling a ton of things on there. And that's great.
Yes. Yes. I think, well, because I think everybody's on Facebook. So I think it's for people who aren't used to Poshmark or eBay or whatever, most people are on Facebook. So I think it's a very easy, just one step, you know, it's there anyway, stuff's going to pop up. So.
Yeah, I agree. Are there any apps that you can't live without that you use for your reselling business?
I guess the ones that I mentioned for sure, PicTapGo and PhotoRoom.
Those are like two main.
I'm addicted to them both now. Yeah. They're really the only ones that I use. To brighten, PicTapGo, and then to remove the background, PhotoRoom. But I'll only PhotoRoom a couple pictures per listing. I don't feel the need to do them all because I feel like lights on in PicTapGo brightens things enough on certain photos. I think the background plays a part too. Like sometimes my background just doesn't, you know, when I photograph things on my wall in my basement, sometimes it comes out different than when it's in the photo box. So depending if I can get it bright enough or just the garment itself sometimes draws enough of the light and attention that the background kind of disappears just by brightening it a little bit.
Yeah. I use Lightroom. That's the first one that I use. I do use Snapseed on occasion for to take different things out of the background that maybe didn't come out right. I do use PhotoRoom as well. The only thing is when I use PhotoRoom and I've been like testing this out is I first brighten my photo in Lightroom because I've noticed if I don't do it first and I go into PhotoRoom and do the white background, the color of my pictures, because I only have one ring light, the picture looks totally different. Like the item itself, the color, the saturation isn't there. It almost dulls it. So I have to go into Lightroom. I brighten it. Then I go into PhotoRoom. I do it. And sometimes I still have to go back into Lightroom just because of the way that the lighting is in here. Mm. And then I have to do it again. It doesn't happen often, but if I'm photographing really late at night and it's like,
really? Yeah.
You know, that's when I have the issues, but
I usually do have to brighten. So like I've tried it where I just remove the background and yeah, it just looks so dim, but the order for me doesn't matter. So like if I brighten the picture first and PicTapGo, then I remove the background, I get the same result as I would if I removed the background first and then took that image and went into PicTapGo and did lights on. So I get the same result regardless of the order that I edit.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are my main things. I also use, but I need this less now that I have PicTapGo, now that I use PhotoRoom and you can actually adjust the size of your image. Mm-hmm. That's made a huge difference for me. Before I used to always use, it's an extension of Instagram.
Instagram grids. That's what I use.
Oh, you use grids? I've never used that before. I use layout. It's called layout. And so I would do a lot of side-by-side images. If I had long things that just would look lost in the center of a square photo, I would do the front and the back image. And then I would go on layout and I would just like, yep. It basically just divides the photo. So I would do a front and back. I do like layout. And yeah, I use PicTap, not PicTapGo. I use
Seller Insight.
I love Seller Insight.
You use that one a lot. That's an app.
I do. I was thinking of another photo editing one, but it was something I use for Instagram stories and not for my reselling business necessarily. No, Seller Insight is great. Seller Insight, I like the most for like at a glance stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like Seller Insight keeps me honest because like when I log in and it syncs with my activity, it tells me, you know, how many sales I've had for the day. And then I believe it compares it to the week prior. So like I'll be in the red basically until I match what I did the week before. And then you go like positive, but it will also say, it gives you like that little graph that shows you how many things you've sold. And then it also goes up in like the value that you sold. So we'll graph the amount you sold. And then on top of that, it will give a number, meaning how many units you sold. And then it also has a thing that's visual for how many listings you created. So it just like, I try to log in every day to just get a glimpse to look at it and be like, oh gosh, I only listed 3 items yesterday. And you know how sometimes you take the photos, you edit them, you draft them, but maybe sometimes you don't list them or you do maybe just 3 listings, but you cross post them to 3 platforms and it feels like you listed 100 pictures, 100 items. And then you go back and you're like, oh, I only listed 4 items yesterday. It felt like I was listing forever, but you know, I had edited and photographed, but I didn't get it to the finish line. So yeah. So I think Seller Insight helps keep me honest.
Yeah. I don't have it, but I know a lot of people love Seller Insight. That is definitely something they always go to. I used to use SellHound. I haven't used that in a long time. I don't think I still have it on my phone.
I've never used SellHound.
I use it. That was more when I was, so I thought that was a good way to look up comps. And then I've realized that if I just Google it, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like I don't need SellHound, you know? It's a great, I think they have other services too. I think they have VA type services as well, but I never used them for anything like that. So I wouldn't know. I'm trying to think what else do I use on a deal?
I would be lost without all of my free shipping supplies from USPS. I mean, I have relied on them more and more and more and more. Like I was all about the pretty packaging when I first started and I still like a nice poly bag. I always have them in stock.
Yeah.
But I think I think I'm much more into like my clear bags with my sticker, my thank you sticker that I customized on what's that site? Vistaprint. Mm-hmm. Like during Black Friday, I got some big sale and I ordered a bunch of like Lori's Boston Found stuff. But even if I don't have those stickers, just like your basic thank you stickers, they have a great variety on Amazon. They're very affordable.
You get like 5,000 of them or something ridiculous.
On a roll. Exactly. So I love like the clear bag with my item inside, my little sticker and my free mailers from USPS.
I only have mailers for my eBay sales. Anything that's going to be first class. Like that's what I use. I use those mailers. On occasion, I'll use them for Poshmark sales, but I just buy white ones or black ones, whatever I feel like buying. And I don't usually go for any of the crazy prints. I did when I first started, but I don't anymore. And I just buy a bunch and, you know, spend whatever it is, the $12, $13 on it. Yeah. And that's what I use those for. But again, I have the same thing. I have the clear plastic that I put the item in. I have the sticker and then everything else is just free supplies. Even I finally purchased a label printer there. And I went with like a no name on Amazon. It works great. Love it. You know, awesome. I have no issues with it. But I got free thermal labels from UPS because you can get them on UPS. There is a way to get free labels in this big box of 6,000 labels.
Oh my gosh.
My house. It's great. I don't have to ever buy labels for this printer that I bought.
Oh my gosh.
And the printer itself came with 100 labels for free, which was nice. So it kind of got me started.
Yeah.
Because the first time I tried to print labels, I definitely messed it up like 4 or 5 times. So it was
hard formatting it to fit just right.
It is. So Yeah, but you can get those for free. So you don't have to pay for those.
That's crazy. I just paid for a box.
Yeah.
I don't buy the name brand, but I buy the 4x6 labels.
Yeah, there's so many out there.
Yeah, there's so much. But yeah, my thermal printer, couldn't live without that.
Yeah, I thought I could for the longest
time. Until you got one.
Until I got one. And then I was like, oh, I get it. I get it now. It's just...
It's totally doable. I didn't have a thermal printer for, oh God, maybe 6 months to a year. I don't remember when I got my Dymo, but yeah, it was just like, first I started with computer paper and cut it out and then taped it on. And then I upgraded to like the adhesive paper that like printed. And then, you know, so I would just peel it off, but I was still putting it through like an inkjet printer.
Gotcha.
And then I got the thermal. So
I went from, I've always printed, right? Printed it and cut it out. And then I originally was using tape. And then I found out that USPS has these, I don't know what they
little
are.
Little sleeves.
Yeah, the little sleeve. You can just kind of stick it in. And that's what I used for the longest time. And that, okay. And that was, I didn't have to use tape. I just stuck it on there. And that piece from USPS is free. So,
you know, yeah, that we love free stuff.
Yes. Free is the, listen, if you can get free supplies for your business, do it.
Get them.
Yes. Get all of it because there are other expenses that accrue, like all these apps that we've discussed.
Right.
You can spend a lot of money on apps.
Like I signed up for Epidemic Sound and accidentally signed up for like the professional level.
Oh,
and
good. I think
$50 a month for like the 3 songs I download. I'm like, what the frig? Like, I need to like, and you know, it's been on my list of things to do, but I mean, I love the access. What I don't know about Epidemic Sound is like the songs that I've already downloaded, are those mine now? Or like once I don't have the membership, I can't ever play them again.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know. Because if that were the case, I would just download a bunch of things and, you know, sail off into the sunset.
I would assume if you have that membership, you get the copyrights to it. That would be my guess. Mm. I don't know.
Because I mean, let's be honest, I could probably download 30 little jingles and that would be just fine for my background music. Oh my God. You know what I did on Saturday?
What?
We went to my brother-in-law's house and we recorded our own audio for the New England song with Jonathan.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was hysterical. So we recorded first, like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we had 2 pitchers of margaritas out to dinner. And then
we got really good at the end.
And then we recorded again. And clearly the second recording was way more fun. And that's what we're going to use. So it was great because I don't know how much I've talked about it on the podcast, but I tried to buy the rights to the song. I paid $600. They didn't give me the master license. The manager was like a snake in the grass and then wanted to charge me like another $2,700 for the copy of the song after I'd already paid the $600 and told him like he wanted to get more upfront for the rights. And I was like, dude, like, no, like I don't make any, you know, what I make on my videos, I'll just break even over a 6-episode series, Thrift Across New England, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, I was very bitter about it for a very, very long time.
But
we had our attorney look at it and they said, you don't have the master license, so you can't play his original version, but you can record it.
Well, then there you go.
The rights to the song. And my brother-in-law is a musician. So I'm like, well, let's make some lemonade out of these lemons.
I love it.
So we recorded over the weekend. So I'm really excited. Like, I mean, there are definitely some like weak spots in the song.
That's fine though. That makes it
could have been better. The tequila, but yeah, I'm really excited I need to get it all loaded onto my computer and played in the background. And then I have to figure out how to send the copy of the license to YouTube. So I don't get flagged for copyright. They don't know I have a license for it, but it's not like there's an email like, hey, YouTube, can I send you this? You know? So I have to figure that out.
There's gotta be a drop down or something.
I don't know. Like when I use Epidemic Sound music, because the first time I used one of their songs, I got flagged. I got copyright flagged immediately. And what you're supposed to do is just basically, they give it to you right in the download. You copy, you know, basically it says this music is from Epidemic Sound and this is the name of the song and this is the artist. And you just copy it, and then I put it anywhere in my description, and then I'm clear. But I didn't realize I had to do that for my first song. So then, like, my money was like an escrow for that particular video that I put out until I cleared it with Epidemic Sound. And then, so, but that was more like after the fact. It wasn't anything I knew. I didn't know how to do it up front. So I'm sure I'll have to figure out what to do. But like, because I have a copy of the license to send them.
Right. Well, I don't know. There's got to be a way.
I know. All these things that come up that you just.
Yeah. I mean, it's not things you would think of to.
Exactly. Search, exactly.
But that's going to be really fun. I can't wait to hear that. I can't wait. It's going to be really fun. I mean, when it comes to reselling, I guess I want to branch out a little bit more because we have some listeners that probably have YouTube channels and stuff too. I don't have a camera for my YouTube channel. That's on a hiatus right now. I just use my phone. Do you think a camera is necessary? Is that like a reseller, YouTuber must-have thing for you to have a camera to film on?
I think at this stage of the game, because I've had like a vlogger style camera, I would really miss it. There are certain things I would miss. Like when I go in close with an item and it zooms in on that, I actually just got a new camera because the camera that I had like a detachable lens and it was really nice. And I read all about them. I have the ML50. Mm-hmm. Canon ML50 EOS. And it's great, but I find that it's bulky. So like, if I want to do a thrift with me, I'm afraid to take that out of the house. Cause I'm just like, there's too much going on when I'm thrifting.
Right. And it's so easy to get distracted while you're thrifting too.
Yes. And I'm like, all I need is for this pricey camera to like fall or whatever. Plus it's so obvious that you're filming, and like, I just film with my phone. So, I mean, even within my own videos, like anytime I'm vlogging, I'm just like holding my phone camera. So, I mean, I guess the quick answer is I definitely don't think people have to have that. No way to start a YouTube channel. That should absolutely not be any reason why somebody doesn't start a YouTube channel. I think people, like, I kind of like technology. Like, I love my gadgets and stuff. But no, I think for very long, I don't know when I bought my camera. I probably shot on an iPhone for a year for my YouTube channel.
Yeah. And I feel like the way that iPhones have advanced, or Androids, they've come a long way with video that you can make it work, right? You can make it work, especially if you like to edit and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's just like one of those things that I feel like I want, but it's not necessary right now for me in any way.
In fact, I was watching a video recently comparing the camera that I'm probably going to sell, the camera that I just got, which is the Sony ZV-1. Mm-hmm. So it's no detachable lens, zooms in and out. It was like the first camera that Sony designed with video in mind before photographs. That's specific to vloggers. It has like automatic blurring in the background. Nice. When you do it, it has, it autofocuses really quickly when you come in. You know when I show something and I have to like block my face so that the thing comes into focus, you don't have to do that with this camera. It has this automatic filter, which gives you a little glow. And I guess you can have it on low, medium, or high.
Wow.
Which is a little weird to me that you can do that, but I'm certainly going to take advantage.
I would be using it.
Yeah. I'm going to try to stick with the low. So, I don't look too glassy. But yeah, so it has like all these features, but it's really small, and they sell this little, handle, and you, it screws on to the camera, and then you don't have to touch any of the buttons on the camera. It's basically like a selfie stick.
Oh, wow.
It also spreads out to be a little tripod, and it's thick, and then you can walk around with it. It's just, and it's all super compact. So for me, I wanted, I just wanted something that I could actually go out and vlog with. Cause I just, and you can, with the camera that I have, I always use my iPhone when I'm out vlogging. So the point of that story was that I was watching a video, and a guy was comparing the camera that I'm leaving behind, my new one, and his iPhone. And there were a lot of things that he's like, well, if I'm comparing the three, my iPhone wins on this. If I'm comparing the three, I would choose my iPhone. So it was really interesting because there's so much hype over these vlogger cameras. And this guy was like, you know, he had several hundred thousand followers or views on this video. And he was a camera guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm sorry, like nothing beats the convenience of an iPhone that's in your pocket, that
holding it in your hand. It's yeah. weird. There's something to be said about that.
Yeah. I mean, the quality of iPhones are incredible now. So no, you definitely don't need a fancy camera.
Yeah. It's again, it's one of those wants.
You need good lighting, but you don't need a fancy camera.
Yeah, you do need good lighting. This is
I will true. Say that. And you always have good lighting because you sit right there by your window and the lighting's always good. Because mm-hmm. I am distracted when I watch a video and it's like super shaded or dark or grainy. But I mean, if you have good lighting with an iPhone, I think you're absolutely fine.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I would love a camera someday, but like I'm not even monetized. Like I have no business buying a camera.
Well, I have a really nice one I'm selling.
I know. I saw. I'm aware. I contemplated. I was like, oh, well, I mean, friends and family discount maybe.
Well, for sure. That's why. So Daniela and I have like, we're in a small, like a group chat with yeah. other creators on YouTube. So I figured I would put it out to that group first. Then I'm going to put it on my Instagram stories and then I'm going to put it on eBay. But once it goes to eBay, that's like 20%, right? So yeah. off the bat.
Yeah. I think the community would respond. I'm sure there's people out there that follow you that are looking into getting a camera.
Yeah. It's actually, I'm not, it will definitely sell. It's a great camera. It's almost like just too much for me. I just don't need all the bells and whistles that this, like my new camera doesn't have a flash. My Canon has a flash. Huh.
Yeah.
So
but I get
I'm worried. I'm a little worried to let go of it because I'm so used to my Canon, and Jay's like, well, you got to recoup some of the costs from the new camera. I'm like, I know.
But do I really?
But I do. But I'm like, well, maybe I could just leave the Canon at home and bring the Sony with me.
You could. And have two cameras.
And have two.
You better be selling a lot of things then to recoup those costs.
No, exactly. No, I need to recoup some of the cost. It's just not.
Cameras are expensive.
Cameras are expensive.
They are. They're a lot. Going back to reselling clothing related, command strips, like the command hook that I have for my clothes that I hang on my wall. Necessity yes. in my business. Have to have that. You can use a nail, but I like my command hook.
People love their command hooks. I used a command hook when I was upstairs. Downstairs, I use twine. I have like a curtain rod above in my studio.
Yeah.
Originally I thought I was going to use like a curtain backdrop that lasted half a day. It was way too busy. But I left the curtain rod up and I hang, it's almost, it's twine and I tie it in a knot and then I hang my hanger on that. And then I can flip it back and forth because it's just hanging. So I can get a front view and a back view. And I've just gotten very used to that system.
Yeah.
So I actually don't have mine on a hanger, but I on a hook, but I think I'm very much the exception and not the rule. I think most people live for their command hooks. Plus they're white, they're clean, boom.
You can move it. You can do what you want with it. It doesn't ruin your wall for the most part. I'm sure there's instances where it could, but yeah, no, I love my command hook. That is definitely something I could not live without. And my totes that I have. Need to have my totes. I've tried not, when I first started, I didn't have totes. I don't remember how I used to store it. I think I used to have like those cardboard tote-like things, not these plastic ones from Home Depot, like things I probably got at Home Goods or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, my Home Depot totes is where it's at for my store.
And I love the clear tote too.
Yeah.
You can just see what's going on in there.
Yeah.
Have you noticed on Poshmark, it just started like this week where we'll say an offer has been made. Like
yes, I noticed it today.
It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, I don't like it because I sometimes like things because I might want to buy it to resell and I might like a lot of things all at once.
And then you get all these notifications. Yes. I don't know. Is it just to like create a sense of urgency? Don't you get an email? Like, so it's when somebody else makes an offer
when
on it?
Someone else makes an offer.
That's annoying.
I agree. I don't like it. And I wish there was a way to show. Like,
we have enough information coming at us all day long. I don't need to know when Susie Q makes an offer on something that I like.
Her. I hope she gets it because I would have already bought it at this point. You know what I mean?
That's like super annoying. I'm going to have to go in and shut that off on notifications.
I noticed that today and I was like, what is this? And why is it telling me someone made an offer? I don't care.
Yeah, I think that's really unnecessary and kind of invasive.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
There's also,
it's one thing if the seller is making an offer, but
right, I agree. That. Like a notification on that. Huh?
Yeah. I'm so swollen over here.
I was like, what are you doing?
No, like my glands. I just look off. It's so weird. I keep catching my image here.
There's also been talk, not to get off topic, but there's also been talk about the search capabilities, how it's been switching back and forth between Relevance and Justin. Have you seen
about that? Yes. My friend Amber Resells did a video. She's like the best analytical YouTuber around. She did a video on it, and I haven't tested the waters with it to see like if mine is coming in, if it's by Relevance or if it's by Justin.
Yeah. Or just shared.
It's one just of the shared. Ones. Yeah.
Mine still defers. So mine went to Relevance when Amber had posted on Instagram. I checked and I was like, yep, mine's going to it too. And I was messaging her about it. And I know some people were upset about it, because they like the ease of like you share and it just goes to the top kind of thing. But I feel like as an eBay seller and as someone who knows a lot about SEO and stuff, it just makes you want, you have to create a really good listing so that it's searchable. But the other thing about it too, is someone has to be specifically searching for, you need to make sure you have all the right words in your title so that it'll pop up no matter what the combination is.
Right.
Someone searching. Right. So it is going to require a little more work. It's very eBay like, you know, if they go through with it. I think
they're going to have to give us more characters if it goes to
I agree.
You know, eBay gives you 80.
Right.
And like when I'm drafting on Vendu, that's something I'm always paying attention to, because once I'm past 50 on Poshmark, I know I'm going to have to alter something. So I usually do my drafts in Vendu at 50, because most of my stuff goes to Poshmark first.
Yep.
And I add on to it when it goes to eBay.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Do the same thing. I do my Poshmark one. Then once it's in Vendu, I know I can add in all the extra things that I need for eBay. I don't know. See, I know some people are upset about it, but I actually kind of like it. As someone who likes SEO and likes the ability to be searchable, you know, on Google, because that's really what it's all about, is being searchable on Google. And I did notice
every other company, that's what they're going for, is being searchable on Google. I mean, that's...
Have you tried to Google one of your items recently?
No.
Okay. So I did the other day because I was looking something up, I don't remember what it was, and my item popped up, and it came up under, you know, when you click on images, there's like a row of all things that are for sale. Right. So my item was the first one that popped up, which is great. But it also underneath the price, it said fit and it said skinny. So it's pulling things now that are in your categories, in your subcategories. So just to kind of put out there the importance of filling in all of those, all the characters, filling in the categories, the subcategories.
Is it an eBay listing or a Poshmark listing?
Poshmark listing.
Hmm. Interesting.
Poshmark listing. So clearly Poshmark is leaning towards that, which makes sense. I mean, they're growing as a company. They're gonna have to, you know, revamp a few things.
I mean, stuff was searchable.
It was searchable that way before. Prior but one to. Thing, it makes it easier for a buyer to be like, okay, is this is, you know, it says skinny fit. This is what I'm looking for, kind of thing. Yeah. Or it says material. So, and now they have that new style tags that you can add as well, which is a new feature on Poshmark too. So there's a definite heavy focus on searchability.
Yes.
Poshmark.
Very, I mean, can you imagine if they just get rid of sharing, how that would change?
Oh, I'd love it.
It would be so nice.
It would be amazing, but I just don't know if that's what they're going to do.
It's so deeply embedded into the culture of Poshmark.
It is.
I just.
So not necessary. It's just not a necessary task at any level of being in the reselling business. Can you imagine if people that had eBay had a share? Can you imagine that? People have thousands and thousands of items in there. So I'm not talking like 1 to 2,000 people.
No, I mean warehouses.
10,000 or more. So you could never share any of that.
Mm-mm.
You know? So I don't know. Maybe they realize that now that they're a public company that they can't be doing that kind of stuff.
Or they just have to start on some level showing a little love for the people who work full time on their platform like that.
And acknowledge it.
Acknowledge it. I mean, I've always said, even if you had a certain thing, like if you share your closet, if you share 100 items, you get 100 shares free, or like just some sort of give back for the people who are constantly giving to the app. I mean, and there's a lot of criticism with, you know, people hosting posh parties and posh and sips and nobody being compensated. And it's like all this free marketing that people do for the company. And I don't typically get bent out of shape about that stuff. And I feel like I have my own platform with YouTube, so I've never really done a lot of that stuff. But I think for people who maybe want to connect with people in the community outside of Instagram or YouTube channel, that's a way to do it.
Yeah.
Then it's kind of a weird system. It's kind of a weird system.
I agree. I think that for a long time they wanted to be a social platform. And as they grew, they realized they had a lot of full timers on there and that they probably have to get with the times, because you're going to start losing some of those full time sellers of the platforms that are coming out that are just as good, just as simple, and don't require as much work.
Yeah, I say it all the time. A lot of people start out on Poshmark and then they're intimidated by eBay, but then they start doing eBay. And, you know, if they're full time and they're, you know, paying their mortgage with the reselling business, little by little, they just kind of head over there because it's less time consuming and you have a bigger audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how we got on this topic.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. it doesn't take much for us to
no, it
go
doesn't.
Off topic.
Is there anything else you can think of that you can't live without in your business? I'm trying to think. I feel like I mentioned all of the key things that I have to have. I have a lot of like cool things that just aren't like, they're not a must have though.
Well, what's a cool thing? Let's go to the non-essentials.
All right, let me think.
What's a cool thing?
All right. This is something really, really simple. And for me, it was like a big thing when I first started, but I never had fancy hangers for my stuff. And I like using fancier hangers. Like I like the wooden hangers. I thought those were really pretty look. So for me, that was like, ooh, I'm one of the cool kids with the wooden hanger when I first started. I didn't have the cheap plastic hanger you got at the store kind of thing. Right. You know what I mean? It's a very simple thing. But for me, that was like a big upgrade, is I had a pretty wood hanger.
Yeah, I do love the wood hangers. They are so pretty. Yeah, just in general. There was a phase I went through where I wanted all wood hangers for my rack. But then I couldn't fit as many items on the rack because like I never, you know, I watched those videos and everybody in certain people have like their items 1.5 inches spread apart, like in
It looks beautiful.
It's completely staged, you know. I'm like, the rack never looks like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's just perfect.
But it looks pretty for YouTube. Yeah,
that's exactly right. That's another thing too. I don't have a rack. I would like to have a rack once I have the space. That would be great. Because right now
I'm very reliant on my rack. However, I do feel like it, for me, there have been so many times in my business where it's just another place to put stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like either it's been photographed and I haven't put it into inventory, or it sits there. It's like a glorified death pile, but it's on a hanger.
It looks better.
So it looks better. But I mean, I have gotten much better about like my process. So this stuff doesn't stay on the rack too long anymore like it used to.
Yeah. I hate having everything in tote bags. Like I come home from thrift store and it stays in the tote bag until I photograph it and then I put it away in one of my totes. So I would like to have some type of rack. So there's some type of organization to it.
You should look into the one that I have in my office that I got from Amazon that bolts to the wall.
Oh, yeah.
I had kind of envisioned that I would use that and then stand up and do some of my videos and like have that look that I just talked about, like the really pretty hangers. And just
used that in your videos, have you?
I used it with my Boston collection, which I only did once. So, And that's like just a whole, I just feel more comfortable. Like my desk is my safety net. Okay. I'm comfortable behind my desk. Maybe if I lose 20 more pounds on Weight Watchers, I'll stand up and dance around for everybody a little bit more.
Stop it. You look fine just as you are.
Thank you, love.
You're welcome. I'm tired.
Yes.
It's and my late. Brain is done. My brain.
This is fun
done.
Though. I mean, I love to talk about tools and technology.
I agree. And I'm sure there's things that we didn't mention
Definitely.
There are so many tools out there.
I feel like I have to mention one thing, but I don't know the name of it. It's like this little plastic scrapey thing. It's literally like $1.25 and it gets your stickers off.
Oh yeah. It's it has a yellow handle, doesn't it? Maybe it's white. I don't know.
Mine is red. I think they come in a variety of colors. They're plastic. It's got like a little,
I know what you're talking about.
Almost looks like a little baby spatula.
Yep.
And it helps you it, and it just like saves your nails from like scraping off stickers.
I'm sure if you type into Amazon, something will come up.
I want to say it starts with a J. Like sticker, it's like the name of a person. Maybe not.
What happens? Sticker scraper. There's a whole bunch of them. Plastic razor blade, scrake it, scraper. There's all different names. Plastic razor.
I found it. Scotty. I knew
Scotty
it was
Scotty Peeler's label and sticker remover.
Scotty Peeler. Yep. So there's like a 3-pack, a red, white, and a blue, but then they have like that little metal one that looks dangerous. but the plastic one is like the best thing ever. And I don't know if they sell them individually, but that's like such a cheap thing.
Yeah. I don't have one of those. That is going to be added to my list.
Yeah. Super cheap. And
instead of using my fingers.
Yeah. It just saves your nails and you won't believe how easily it lifts the stickers off. So sometimes like I'll spray a little bit of the Goo Gone, like say you get like a frame or something, not that we're all out buying frames, but like anything on a hard surface, I spray the Goo Gone and then I take my Scotty peeler and it just like lifts stuff. Right. I mean, that's just like a life thing. Everybody needs a Scotty peeler in their life, not even their reselling.
Just in general. Cause even like sometimes when I buy mugs and you can't get the sticker,
exactly,
the Mac sticker off of the mug, and it's really frustrating.
Scotty peeler.
Run it under hot water, and you're scrubbing to get all the glue off. Gonna need to buy one.
That's what you need. You need a spray of Goo Gone and a Scotty peeler.
So Goo Gone and the Scotty peeler on my list of things I need to buy. That's what's gonna happen.
We'll leave you with that.
Yeah. That is what we're gonna do. Thank you to everyone who was listening a few days late. We appreciate
Thanks, everybody. Yeah, it'll be. So we'll release on Thursday and are we recording this weekend? Yeah. So we'll record again for Monday.
Yes, we will. And for those who have joined the Patreon, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We will be going live this week, aren't we? Maybe.
I think so.
Who knows at this point? Lori and I don't even know where we are anymore. We don't even know what's going on. All right. Anyway, we will talk to you guys again on Monday. Hope you had a great week. And that's it.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. This is just a reminder that Thrifters Villa's Patreon is officially live. You can find us on patreon.com/thriftersvilla. It is just $5 a month where we're going to offer you bonus content, extra episodes, a free downloadable a month, and live events. So make sure to check us out there, and we will see you next week.